This is my quest to solve the riddle of steel and to destroy those who have killed my people. Listen to me now.
Welcome in to Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan is here with the soothing sounds of, what the hell is it, Australian Death Machine?
Oh, no, it's
Austrian.
Austrian.
Oh, Australian would be better.
Stick with the theme, man.
I don't know. My ears are bleeding.
Oh, it's got to go off now.
I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
The whole segment. I'm just going to loop it.
Hi, folks.
What's that?
I'm crying.
What
I'm
is
sorry.
That little ditty called?
It's called Crom. What else would it be called? This is, okay. First of all, I realize that I know anybody who listens to this radio station between any other hours other than the downtown hours are treated to what? They're like the really kind of soft, easy, classic rock hits.
Right. Yeah.
I've just destroyed their minds if they just leave on there.
That's not the Monkees.
It's not the Monkees.
Austrian Death Machine.
Austrian Death Machine. Listen, I have had zero time today. I'm a busy guy, and I just remembered 2 seconds before I wrote to you that we needed a musical selection. So I went to Spotify and I look up Austria, and there was something like, you know, some soundtrack.
Edelweiss.
But the rest of it.
Edelweiss.
No. Isn't that better than Edelweiss for a millionth time?
Yes.
I'm
just
saying.
Yes.
But all of a sudden this thing popped up, Austrian Death Machine. And I was at least a little intrigued, and the first thing I clicked on, and most of their things are, they're all Arnold Schwarzenegger inspired with full quotes inserted in the music tunes, and they're absolutely ridiculous. But I'm a huge Arnold fan. I mean, I'm 41 years old. Like, the bulk of his work was in all of my formative years, and now could I resist when I found a song named Crom? By the way, folks, we're talking about German and Austrian wine today, so
yes.
That's why I was looking at Austria, in case you're searching for relevance.
That does explain, because the only other place I've ever seen Crom referenced is in Conan the Barbarian.
Quote is from Conan, but have you read the books?
Yes.
Howard. Which I discovered only years later, because I'm a huge Tolkien fan and big just geek and sword and sandals geek. And I confess, I didn't know they were sort of a pulp comic, serials. They went from, you know, very short to some of them are very, very long.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're really, really cool. Yeah, Robert E. Howard. Yeah, is in case anybody's a Conan fan. I swear we're gonna get to wine.
I look forward to your band covering some of the better known Austrian Death Machine hits.
Austrian Death Machine hits. For anybody who wants to come see my band, we don't actually play Austrian Death Machine. Although I don't know. Now I'm a little sold. At least the first 30 seconds. But I'd have to do my best Arnold, which at its best is really bad. You'd figure from a guy with German extraction, I could do a good Arnold, but I just can't. He's so oft imitated and so poorly that it's just. The other problem is that I also grew up with Dana Carvey and what's his name? Being the
Hans and Franz.
Hans and Franz. Yes. I mean, that ruined it for me as well. So yeah, folks. Now that we're moving past Austrian Death Machine. We are finishing up on Germany, and I wanted to touch on Austria a little bit because let's be frank, it's kind of important on the world wine scene. And it being sort of a neighboring country, I wanted to sort of dispel some myths, including the fact that they're exactly the same and that they make the same sort of wines and stuff like that. But let's first finish up, with Germany. As you recall, last week I sort of talked about the all the rules, and I didn't even touch on a million of them. But basically, do recall that when you're looking at a label of German wine, you're reading a bunch of, let's be frank, every German word is long. and the reason, actually, I should sort of mention this. I mean, you know, in fairness, they compound words, right? Like, so things, they would, you know, they literally would make a word that tells you it's both one thing and another all in one word. And that's not just wine, that's in general. But do you remember that they will be very clear about what grape it is, whereas other people will not tell you what grape it is. They're very careful to tell you what grape it is. They talk a lot about the words on there mean what time it was harvested, the sugar content, things like that. And also do remember to check the alcohol level for a clue as to the sugar content, as to whether it would be sweet or dry, just to sort of remind you of last week and catch you up. But today I kind of want to talk about Germany's other face, because it grows a lot of things besides Riesling. Riesling is absolutely by far the number one most planted grape, so we'll get that out of the way. It also grows other beautiful white wines, especially in some of the southern regions. They do a lovely Pinot Blanc, for instance. You do see some of the Pinot family, and it makes sense. I mean, if you sort of envision, you know, you've got Burgundy and Champagne, which kind of funnel into Alsace through basically a mountain pass, and then into the German wine region. And the German wine region from thence sort of reaches eastward and northerly along the river routes, right? And this, I mean, basically, if you haven't caught on by now, rivers, riverbanks, the hilly slopes up from riverbanks, are very, very often vineyard land, and that is indeed the case in Germany. So you see, especially with global warming being an actual thing, it's surprising because, you know, some of us are kind of, you know, jaded old fuddy-duddies, and we're like, well, you know, what would 1 degree mean over a decade or 2 decades? And as I have told you all on air before, I've had a wonderful moment. It wasn't wonderful, it's actually horrible, but very educational moment with a gentleman who has who grows a lot of Pinot Noir and Riesling in Germany, and he was showing me his wines and got a call from his vineyard manager saying they needed to start picking the next day, and this was in August. He's like, traditionally we would not start picking for a month and a half. What does 1 degree mean? It means a lot. It means a tremendous amount. And for some people, that's great. You know, you're finally getting fully ripe harvests, as opposed to maybe this year we will, maybe we won't. But Germany is certainly starting to grow, for instance, like things like Pinot Noir and Pinot Blanc, the Pinot family, which likes it cold, but does need a little bit more ripening than things like Riesling and some of the other, hybrid varietals that you will see up there. So it's just kind of something to think about as you go. But the Pinot Noir from there is absolutely gorgeous. There's also a grape called Dornfelder, which is very, very heavily planted. Usually made, it's about the same sort of weight as a Pinot Noir, but very, very often will be made into a sort of a semi-sweet wine. One of those wines for people who like, it's still a table wine. It's not like a viscous dessert wine, but very often. So do indeed, if you're trying out a Dornfelder, some of them are made dry, and they kind of show like a fruitier Pinot, but do check, because it's likely that it's going to be sweet. So if you're not a fan of sweet table wines, just check that out or ask your friendly local wine merchant for help. That's certainly a grape that we will see occasionally on our shelves if there's something good brought into the state. And there's not always. It's definitely something that's it hasn't really caught on here in America, even though it is very, very popular there. By the way, just speaking of there versus here, there's been a real trend in their drinking over there where they are perceiving that the world wants and their younger folks want drier wines, which I think is very interesting because sweeter wines tend to be sort of the entry level to anything, you know, sweeter beers, sweeter wines, things that, you know, are approachable. But this is a true thing. So you will see more and more dry wines coming out of Germany, for better or worse. But don't always assume that a German wine is going to be sweet. A, because you were having Liebfrau Milch or Blue Nun or something like that 20 years ago, which is one reason why most people think not only that German wine is all sweet, but is also all terrible. And those are terrible, but don't, you know. So I have a couple more minutes, and I did want to talk about Austria, not just because of their greatest export ever, Arnold Schwarzenegger, but because of some of their other exports. A lot of people do come in asking for Austrian wine. You're going to start seeing it, or you have started seeing it, on a lot of restaurant lists. So I figured I'd talk a little bit about that. The Austrian wine region, I mean, obviously Austria is very, very high in elevation in its western part because it's all the Alps. So there is a huge plain that comes down towards Vienna from the Alps. And of course, the Danube, which is, I believe, the longest river in Europe, does come down that way, flows through the city of Vienna and on through many other countries. And indeed, as I mentioned before, you have vineyards along rivers, right? So one of the cooler things about Vienna, because the vineyard land is kind of limited, there are vineyards up, right up to and in the city limits of Vienna. This is not a very common thing. Normally, you'll see, you know, villages having it and cities sort of having demolished everything and blasted everything away for, you know, expansion, essentially. So a very, very interesting part of that. But yes, you do see in the extreme eastern parts of the country, that's predominantly where all the wine is grown, along the Danube, and then it goes into the city of Vienna. It flows little ways. There's also an inland sea called the Neusiedler Sea, and that is also, you see lots of clusters. And again, so bear in mind, this ties into a lot of the geography that we've talked about in terms of vineyard lands, is when you're in one of these higher elevated countries, cold weather is very often, and you see this again, you know, northern Italy with Lake Garda, colder weather is moderated by some of these inland seas and waterways. So that is very much the case there. The grapes that you're seeing, the main way, but it's, I believe the last tally was around 65% of the production is white wine. The predominant white wine there is Grüner Veltliner, G-R-U with an umlaut, N-E-R, V, but it's pronounced kind of F, you know, Veltliner, V-E-L-T-L-I-N-E-R, Grüner Veltliner. Oh, our furry friend is back.
Randall's out there. He's listening. He likes wine.
Randall likes wine. He's like, wait a minute, you guys in there having wine? And then the red wine that we're having right now is the predominant red grape. It is Zweigelt. Mm. Literally two gold or two gold pieces, Z-W-E-I-G-E-L-T, Zweigelt. And this is the Paul D. A lot of them, by the way, they do a lot of liter bottles in Austria, right? So, and they're pretty much line priced with everything else you're going to get. So it's kind of like getting an extra glass for free. It's pretty cool. And a lot of them actually come with like pop toppers. This one has a screw cap, but they like to drink wine in Austria, and they do it, you know, low alcohol quaffing wines. They're absolutely fantastic. So if you're a fan of Sauvignon Blanc or crisper whites, check out Grüner Veltliner. We also have Zweigelt Rosé, and they do some other really interesting grapes there as well, but I'm running out of time, so we'll talk about Austria maybe some other time as well. We're coming into July, so we'll have our wonderful July tasting. We're still trying to pin down some representatives of some canned wine companies to come in and nice. Check that out. Yeah, because that's, you know, it's summer.
Summertime, yeah.
It's time to get the boat out and go have some good booze. All right, see y'all next week.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Stop in any hour of the day. You can get great advice, buy wonderful products, and listen to Austrian Death Machine.